live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I think living at the YMCA is code for drunk on a bottle of his own cologne.
So it seems to me.
It's not as festive as the village people would have you think.
It's really not.
All right. It's 2 minutes and 42 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2003. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from the studios of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We appreciate your patronage and presence and all of those things. We're here with F. Matt Peterson, Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. Coming up later on today, we'll be talking to, I believe, John Bisney from CNN Radio. We'll talk about that helicopter that was shot down in Iraq, where the hostilities have ended and there's no unpleasantries of any kind taking place because the war is over. Over for months now. Any news to the contrary is just it's being promulgated by the liberal media. So we'll have our token lackey representative of the liberal media with us later on this hour to talk about the non-fatalities that occurred this weekend and the non-combat zone in Iraq. Also coming up later on today, have you heard the new Kid Rock? Yeah, so we got that later on. So we've got today, playing the new Kid Rock single later on. It's something else we're going to talk about, but I don't want to. We got the new Kid Rock single coming up later on today. Also, in honor of the illustrious success on every conceivable level of Thursday's listener party, we will continue to dwell, mope, wallow, and sulk in every way known to man. Coming up today, in honor of really what has to be called the worst listener party that's ever been held anywhere by any radio station for any group of people, we'll be playing the top five songs with the word bad in the title. That's coming up. Plus your phone calls. We got another edition of How Chicks Think. We actually, now, today's How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk, it comes to us, it was prompted by something that happened at Thursday's listener party. So we know that right off it didn't involve drinking or being served or helped in any way.
A listener party without listeners.
Did I say that out loud? Is it hot in the air or is it just me? It's like 190 degrees in this room for some reason.
It's been cold in this one all morning.
It's just really hot and stuffy in here. All I need now is a tiny VIP area in front of the microphone where no one can get to. All right, moving on. I'm sorry. Again, I think it's just in my head. It turns out my mouth is open and I'm speaking out loud.
Thank goodness you didn't get frostbite as many probably did.
All right, I have something else we're going to get to, but I don't know what the hell it is. We'll get to it later on. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Oh, I know what it is. We got an update from Mitch. We got an update from Mitch and his freaky wife, Sally, who are looking for the live-in sex slave. We got an update from them. We'll get to that later on this hour. Also, your phone calls, also your email. We're moments away from the man you came here to hear. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom on Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be noon. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turn off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5, and better get used to chillin', cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic from Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic, and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F Matt. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster, yeah. And he's got to have it, it's the radio gangster, yeah. He's got to have it, it's the radio gangster, yeah. I'm not having it, radio. Gangsta. Yeah. I'm not having it, radio. Gangsta. Yeah. I'm not having it,
It's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Lori Pond, the mother of 12-year-old murder victim Ashley Pond, went back to court today to try to get her kids back. Less than 2 months ago, the state of Oregon took all three youngsters, a son and two daughters, because of neglect. Lori Pond, who has a problem of, well, it has a history of problems, including a drunk driving charge, denies allegations that she and her boyfriend, James Knightley, have had problems with alcohol abuse and domestic abuse. Pond's 12 and 8-year-old daughters have been living with their two fathers. So there are two fathers for those kids. And then the one-year-old, who's the son of a different father. Everyone lives in this house has a different name. He's been in state custody since September. Now, the grandfather, who isn't Lori Pond's actual father, but her stepfather, who has a different name than any of them, says, Lori Pond is really a very good mother.
We want the best welfare for these children. I didn't feel that Lori Dunn was a bad parent. Lori, to me, is a wonderful parent. As far as the other issue of alcohol, that's been resolved. It's been taken care of.
There you go. Thank you.
Probably by Anna Song.
There's just nothing I can... All you need is a soccer coach living there, and it's you're going to have a full house, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, so much for that story.
All right.
Yeah.
No, I just no.
Oh, anything else?
No, I just you're never sure about when the window of sensitivity has elapsed on these things, and you're allowed to make comments. I don't know. So, is it was that Miranda's mom or Ashley's mom?
This is Ashley's mom.
And there's how many kids in the house now?
None. They've taken them all away.
Okay, but I mean, she has how many? There's no other way to put this. She has how many living children?
One, two, three.
And they're by how many different dads?
Three.
All right. Okay. And she was arrested for what? Drunk driving. But she denies she has a problem with what?
Alcohol abuse and domestic violence.
Okay, I'm just trying to get a handle on the situation so I can.
There's her picture.
You just need like now. See what that tells you. All you need.
To put that right next to Mitchell Bickley.
It's just serious.
It looks like she's stopping on the way home for some Slim Jims and chewing tobacco.
Stopping at the drive-through Smokes for Less on the way home.
How about some of that healthy food at KFC? That's always good.
Have you seen
You don't need a big bucket anymore.
Was that a microphone or my headphones? Just lost something.
I think you're
must have been your headphones.
And I mean, what else do you need to know here? Spoke briefly with Lori Pond outside her home in Estacada. So, I mean, come on, man. Have you seen that? But speaking of KFC, hey, do they advertise with us, by the way? KFC?
No, not
all right,
currently.
Let me just say this. Have you seen those ads for the fried chicken really isn't as bad?
Yeah, it's really good for you now.
Yeah, they don't call it Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore because they're trying to downplay the fact that they drench it in beef tallow for like an hour and a half. It's just KFC. Which I don't have a problem with. I got no problem with the fried chicken. But have you noticed who's starring in those KFC ads? It's the O guy from Office made that, you know, showing on my O face. Oh, it's that guy. So he's already been typecast. He's the drunken dude next door. All right.
I didn't even notice that. And that was the first time I saw that show over the weekend, by the way.
Office Space?
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of The Office.
Oh, The Office on BBC. You have BBC America?
Well,
how the hell did you see it?
No, I rented the DVD.
Oh, yeah, man. The Office. Seriously, yeah. If you're not watching The Office, which is it's on BBC America, you can also get it on DVD.
The first season.
It is hands down, with the exception of Futurama. And Arrested Development, which I TiVo but did not watch, but I heard it's good. The Office, which just started its second season, is like hands down the funniest thing on television. Anybody who works in a white collar office, and you know we do Office Confidential here, you work with a bunch of blathering nitwit bosses and whatnot, you live in some sort of hideous cubicle like some veal fattening pen all day. That if that's your life, you really ought to be watching The Office. It's a great show.
Half of the Hick Watch.
Didn't we just do the Hick Watch?
This is part of it.
Oh, okay.
Copenhagen makes me feel secure. Dateline, White City.
Yeah, excellent.
There is such a place here in Oregon. Medford police are blaming a fight in a White City trailer park on racial tensions. The attackers used baseball bats to break glass in cars and homes last weekend. Police say at least five Hispanic residents were beaten up, including a toddler who was injured by flying glass. Now at least four people have been arrested. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office says
Some of the suspected attackers had shaved heads in the White City trailer park and had white power tattoos.
How many concentric layers of hell can we possibly find? Where, first of all, where is White City, Oregon?
It's got to be down by Medford somewhere.
I mean, and isn't it a little redundant to call a town in Oregon White City? It's like having Drunkville or, the Big Assland, you know, or something. It just seems like you've already kind of made the point by putting it here. And it's in a trailer park, and they've got shaved heads. And would you say the at least five Hispanic residents?
We're beat up.
How many Hispanic residents could there possibly be in a trailer park filled with skinheads? Why would you?
And they had white power tattoos.
Seriously, I mean, they got to be offering free cable and a substantial, discount on your groceries or something for you to live in. Well, we don't have many of the amenities, but you do have skinheads living here. All right,
That's it today's.
As your Hick Watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Slobbering on around the house, that Copenhagen makes me feel so.
I mean, they really got to be offering to pay a large percentage of your utilities for you to move into a trailer park filled with skinheads. It just sounds like some sort of a sitcom in the offing, doesn't it? Hey, by the way, speaking of a large discount of utilities, I'd like to thank the guys from Comcast for coming and waking me up. Let me just tell you what I did this weekend. I did nothing. I didn't leave the house. I tried not to to even walk out the front door. We went to the Lister party on Thursday, which was just kind of its own sort of a deal. And then we came here Friday, and just with the aid of just the most powerful of narcotics, and a big bottle of Crown Royal, by the way, that we want to thank, is it Mike?
It is Mike in Portland. I think the same guy who named it.
Being the guy who named Thursday party, by the way, is like being the guy who broke the champagne over the Hindenburg. You know what I mean? It's just sort of, I was the guy who finished the rivets on the Titanic. So there you go, Mike. So Mike on Friday came and gave us this huge bottle of Crown Royal. We weren't off the air 10 seconds. Matt had that open. Big ass plastic cup in the office. And, I was abstaining from the Crown Royal. But
you were tempted. I've never seen
I really
seen
was,
drink.
Man. I was sitting there. I was looking, and again, it's not like I'm some Puritan about it or something, but I've had many bad experiences with the evil Firewater. And so it's one of those things I've learned ends badly for me. I don't care what anybody else does. I just have a lot of those, where you wake up and you're like, why am I in an outhouse? You just don't even know. And so, but Matt's pouring the Crown Royal, and I'm sort of looking at it going, Crown Royal. So that was, and I asked Matt what he was going to do this weekend on Friday, because we were just still reeling from the hideous, colossal implosion of the Lister party. And I asked Matt, what are you going to do this weekend? I'm going to go home and drink alone in a dark room all weekend. And I was like, okay. And Sarah, what are you going to do? I'm going to go out and drink myself blind and then teeter home staggering and drunk. I was, all right. And so it's like I wanted to chip in. So I just went home and deadbolted the door, didn't talk to anybody, didn't speak to anybody. I had some point that I was going to make. Something, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know where I was going with that. I had a place that I was going. And then the place I was going just evaporated like so much sand in the wind.
Was it a VIP section you couldn't get into?
Yes, the thought I was going to make here was, the thought I was going to make was like some sort of backstage area that I was denied admittance to in my head.
Instead, they tried to send you to some new Warsaw ghetto for Rick Emerson listeners in the center.
We'll need you.
I want to go here. No, you can't go there. Can I go here? No, you can't go here. Are you kidding? No, I'm not.
It's just terrible. All right, so we got the email coming up about that. Later on, we all got the top five songs with the word bad in the title, by the way. Here's Tim Riley in the KTK newsroom.
This could have gotten the Hick Watch, too. I didn't think about it at the time. But tired of life on the lam, a man wanted by the FBI for removing bolts from electricity transmission towers has surrendered. 62-year-old Michael Poulin of Spokane taken into custody early Sunday morning at a CHP office when he went up to a cop in a cruiser and asked for directions.
As he approached my vehicle, he looked and matched the description of the individual, Michael Poulin.
So, that was it. Bolts had been loosened or removed from the legs of transmission towers across the West, from Madras, McDerry, Klamath Falls, to Dalles, Bendon City, Sacramento. Boy, these are like the hit capitals of the world. They nabbed him as he was heading off to Sacramento. Calls placed to his Eugene-based attorney haven't been returned.
Yeah, go figure there.
So, let's see. The person in question, we have a situation with one person, one wrench, it says here. The person in question is 62 years old, overweight, diabetic, half blind, and has cancer. He takes a minimum of 12 medication pills a day. So there. He is a long-term peace activist and felt compelled to act. You just sit on your hands and do nothing, then you're doing nothing, said Pullen. I guess I'm trying to alert the public to the fact that you don't throw stones from glass houses.
But I don't understand. He's doing, what is it he's even
allegedly removing bolts from those big transmission towers.
For what reason?
I don't know.
Okay.
Apparently he doesn't like, he doesn't like the power infrastructure.
We got this, dude, it's at the end of White City, the end of Highway 140 from Klamath Falls to Medford. All my memories of White City are of trailer parks. Go figure. That's from Nate. All right, we got more on the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk tonight at Gate to Gate. Back after this.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on today, this is Kid Rock, by the way. We'll play the new Kid Rock single later on in the show. Also, top five songs with the word bad in the title. In honor of our completed thorough failure to do anything correctly on Thursday. So that's coming up. We got this. Rick, my roommate is from White City. My roommate in college was proud to say that he lives in the only permanent structure in White City. The only structure without wheels. The bar is set so low for achievement in some places. That's from Ryan, Klamath Falls, Oregon. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Say, remember that office building where somebody came in with a toy gun the other day for Halloween?
I do.
It's back in the news. This just happened. U.S. Capitol Police arresting a man for throwing a brick through a window at that same building. He was wearing a business suit, appeared to be protesting something. The man twice threw the brick at the window and the first time missed. Second time he got it. It was the second incident in less than a week at the building. So
if you don't succeed, just keep trying. That's the moral.
So it's a brick there. The story of the race to become the governor of California is being turned into a porn movie. One of the candidates in the race, adult actress Mary Carey, is supposed to begin shooting the sexy behind-the-scenes view of the campaign. The movie will feature hopefuls Ernie Gropenegger, and the state's lieutenant governor, Spooge Cristamonte.
You can't say that. You can't. Can you say that?
Apparently you can.
He uses a name.
It's a different context.
In a porn film?
Yeah.
That's like, it's being used as a name in a porn film.
So but it's still...
Because
still
something's
being,
been used in a porn film, you can...
I don't think so. I think it's still being used as a proper name. It's not being used as a descriptive of something else.
But that's like saying that if his... That's like saying if you just named your kid, like, F-head or something, you could just say it on the air because it's a name.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that. And by the way, for you don't know what we're talking about, okay, I had to bleep that, but we're talking about this version of the Schwarzenegger story that they're going to make as a porn film, and instead of Cruz Bustamante, they've given him a name that starts with an S and sounds a lot like Sponge, but I don't think you can say that on the air, even if it's like a nickname. It's like, you know what it is? It's like in, It's like in The Jerk, where Steve Martin has that dog named S-Head. It's like a name, but you can't just say it.
Yeah, but I think in that context, because you're not actually using one of the, you know, the actual kind of deadly words.
But there aren't any deadly words. Well, it's all very subjective. There aren't,
but it's the same thing, like, you know, you can...
This
you
is like your continued insistence that you can say HJ on the air. That you can...
I've no longer continued to insist. I'm merely saying that I've heard it on other shows.
I've heard it on public radio, too.
I've seen it on television. Tim's heard it on public radio. And everybody seems to be split on whether or not you can use that.
Okay.
Well, Carrie will play herself in this motion picture. The two-hour picture will co-star Ron Jeremy.
Don't they all?
As the food.
Isn't that a given that you can just add and Ron Jeremy?
And X-rated actor Lee Stone as Arnold.
I think it's probably easier just to catalog the number of films at this point that don't have Ron Jeremy in them. If there's going to be like three videos, like dusty-ass movie. Here's the thing about Ron Jeremy, though. The problem with Ron Jeremy, and I say this with love, we got, as an American man, I have mad love for Ron Jeremy because, of course, you know, Ron Jeremy has lived the American dream. Ron Jeremy and Gene Simmons and Hugh Hefner, that's sort of like the Holy Trinity, the hat trick, the trifecta of American success. But the problem with Ron Jeremy is it's like, it's hard, how do I put this delicately? If you're a man, and let's say you're home alone, few minutes to kill, waiting for the pizza to show up or something. It is, you know, waiting for something good to come on, you know, Showtime. Got 10 minutes to take care of. Put in the porn. There you are. You're handling your business. You know, but it's like then there's Ron Jeremy, and it just, you know what it is? It's Ron Jeremy, it's sort of like seeing, like, your brother now at this point show up in a porn film. It's just completely distracting and sort of takes away from the task at hand, so to speak. You're trying to accomplish a certain goal in a finite amount of time, and it's like seeing the, you know, your roommate or something suddenly pop up in a porn film. It just serves as a distraction more than anything else. Anyway, so keep an eye out. That Mary Carey chick is kind of hot, though. The porn star that was running in California. She's what our friend Trey would call porn star pretty. Not actually pretty, like, in the strictest sense of the word, but pretty in the sense that she looks like a good porn star.
Starsky and Hutch stars David Soul and Paul Michael Glazer are set to swap their fast cars to remote caravans. The stars of the 70s cult show will be at the Caravan Club stand at the Caravan Leisure Show in Earl's Court in West London.
Okay, I just want to say that we've got this guy, Richard, says that Howard used those names on the air this morning. It's all very... It's all very unclear about this. Yeah. Shouldn't there be? Do we have a standards and practices person at Entercom? Do we have some?
We do, but they're hard to find. They keep moving them around to different cubicles.
we have some censor or somebody at Entercom we can call to ask about this sort of thing.
You know, it's one of those things that's weird because, like, you listen to Imus and Imus will say a-hole in the morning.
Well, so does Henry. Henry
and
says
so
it
does
all
Henry,
the time,
but Lycus can't say it.
And I won't say it either.
Yeah, I mean, so it's, you know, there is no set standard. You can all pretty much get away with anything unless somebody complains.
All right, we got nothing.
Still there.
All right. Coming up this hour, we've got John Bisney. John Bisney is going to be with us this hour to talk about that helicopter that was shot down in Iraq. Later on, we've got the brand new Kid Rock single we're going to play as well. What do we got here? We got, Mike in Portland. You're on Hot Talk, 1080 KOTK. What's up, brother?
I'm glad somebody enjoyed the Crown Royal. I figured y'all needed a drink
at
the party.
Yeah, Mike, who brought us the big bottle on Friday, which went over very well. It went over big with Matt Peterson.
Of course it did.
He'll also be using the velvet bag to store some Dungeons & Dragons multi-sided dice later
on. But it does, however, work very well for golf tees and little ball markers.
Hold your pewter figurines.
He'll hold his pencil and his big fat money clip in it.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, you know, I figured out the reason that the service up at the New Phoenix was so terrible.
Mm.
They heard AM talk show having a listener party. They thought of Lars.
Or they thought that it was just going to be, you know, Dr. Laura's audience wanting blended carrot juice or something. So, no, I mean, our listeners are all rampant, raging alcoholics, every one of them. I mean, the people who listen to our show, they're probably drunk now. Here's the thing. If you're a business owner or a manager at some point and you've got Rick Emerson listeners working for your plate, they're probably hiding in a janitor's closet putting down a pint, like, even as we speak.
Well, that's what I'd be doing right about now.
Yeah, that's one of the three defining characteristics of the Rick Emerson audience. One, they're drunk. I don't know what the other two are, but there's three. There's always
two,
three of
everything. Drunk. Three, yeah. They're even more drunk.
Yeah, seriously.
The other thing is, I figured out, I just decided I was going to start working on a name for listener party number 5.
Yeah.
It is just, where's my goddamn beer?
Oh, my drink has finally arrived. There we go. Let's see. Anthony here says, lighten up. My God, Rick, they can show boobs on Vegas in primetime TV. You can get away with saying, and then he has the name of the... Well, the name is Spooge Bustamante, which apparently has been said on numerous radio stations already.
But now it's out there. We'll see what happens.
And he says that, and he says, grow a sack. But they don't show boobs on Vegas, do they?
That
Vegas with James Caan?
Yeah,
they don't show boobs.
Never frontal, but you get the... They've done a few profile shots.
Well, you know, it's like we've been seeing Andy Sipowicz's ass for like 10 years on NYPD Blue. That's like boobs. It's like two big, gigantic ass boobs right next to each other. It's like, why would you... And of all the people you could show nude, why would you pick Dennis Franz? Like, what is that about? That you just, you're finally going to break the butt barrier on television and show some buttocks, and you pick Dennis Franz to show. It's like picking George Wendt, you know, to finally start showing some full frontal nudity on somebody. You don't want to see that. All right, anyway, here's Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Time for the Battle Watch.
Here's your Battle Watch for Monday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Boom, boom. Malenko Oswego man has been killed in Iraq. 47-year-old Roy Buckmaster was a private contractor hired to get rid of ammunition and weapons. Killed in an explosion when it hit his vehicle in Fallujah. And, of course, that big thing yesterday when they used the missile to knock down the helicopter... retired General Barry McCaffrey notes the attacks are becoming more sophisticated.
It's certainly intensifying. I mean, we're talking more than 30 attacks a day. There's been over two dozen attacks by surface-to-air missiles against U.S. aircraft. And this is now the third one brought down. They're using mortars, lots of standoff attacks, remotely controlled bombs.
Donald Rumsfeld comments.
In war, there are going to be terrible days, and it's unfortunately it's necessary to work our way through these things, and ultimately we're going to prevail. The president understands the importance of what's being done. Fortunately, the young men and women serving there understand how important their work is, and we will help the Iraqi people win their country.
Lucky for us, the war is over.
Well, this soldier on the front lines in Iraq has to be philosophical.
So you gotta swallow it like a horse pill, I guess, and just keep going.
Speaking of Alabama today, home of the Ten Commandments, Flap, remember that? The president says this war is God's will.
We also know that freedom is not America's gift to the world. That's what we know. Freedom is the Almighty's gift to everybody who lives in this world.
Now, there's like 30 seconds of applause here for the Almighty being for this war in Alabama.
That's because our God is, of course, bigger than... Isn't that what that...
The
bigger
Alabama
than
God.
Our God?
Yeah.
the Alabama God. The God of grits. All right.
He also spoke about the good work of Alabamans in Iraq.
They're rebuilding orphanages.
Because there are lots of orphans.
They're repairing schools. These proud sons and daughters of Alabama... were responsible for demolishing the final hideout of the thugs, the sons of Saddam Hussein.
Episode of Batman.
I think those are the ones that closed the rape room.
Yes, we've lost our lease. All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Capitol Hill, our good friend, CNN radio correspondent John Bisney. How are you, John?
I'm doing great, Rick.
All right, so I don't want to sound... cynical and all, but I swear to God that I heard somebody say a long time ago that the hostilities and the war were more or less over. This thing of the helicopter being taken down, that's like it's the second worst day for us over there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt there is an insurgent war going on. Some call it a guerrilla war. Some people who are very determined to interfere with U.S. operations in Iraq to try to restore stability. Apparently for their own political gain. So it's a very tough situation, and I think it is very likely, in fact almost predictable, that more U.S. service people are going to die in the days, weeks, and months ahead. I think the question becomes, you know, at what point does it no longer become worth it for these Americans to be giving their lives?
Here's a really dumb question, because I honestly don't know the answer to this. We've ostensibly hounded out Saddam Hussein. We've, you know, driven him. Either he's dead or he's gone underground or whatever. This is a dumb question, but who are these people attacking us? Are these loyalists to Saddam? Or are these guys who just got nothing better to do? Or are they people that just are pissed at us because they just don't like anybody else in their country? Who are these people doing this stuff?
I think you've given a pretty good description of all three groups there, Rick, if there aren't more. Yes, there are definitely loyalists to Saddam Hussein, members of his Ba'ath Party. Number two, there are people there who are just generally dissatisfied with conditions in Iraq. Unemployment is at 70%, and that can lead to some frustrations that might be taken out on what's seen as an occupying power. And number three, people who are loyal to the cause, I guess, in a broader sense, that cause being the defeat of the United States, seen by them as the great Satan, and we're seeing some of these people come from other nations in the Middle East.
We've got this, and the latest is this explosion in Karbala. And it's killed three people. It's wounded 12. It seems to me I can't figure out what the United States, what our presence is. Is our military presence in the terms of actual boots on the ground, is it the same as it was in March, April, May? Is it less? Is it increasing? I mean, I'm unclear about whether our military presence there has stayed the same or diminished over the past few months.
It's diminished slightly, Rick. At the height of the war, we probably had about 155,000 troops there. It's down now to about 130,000. And despite a lot of people's opinions that the solution is to bring in more U.S. troops, as you may know, the military commanders, even those in Iraq, are saying no, we don't need more troops here. They would become more targets themselves. And you've got to think there is an underlying view at the Pentagon, at some of the high levels there, that that's just the wrong way to be going with troop strength.
We're already looking, forward to 2004 when this election. With this election, which is already just, I can just see it coming a mile away. It's just going to be the nastiest, dirtiest, you know, mudslinging thing ever. To what extent is the Bush administration concerned about what the American people think of the ongoing hostility there, do you think? To what extent is that going to influence their policy?
Well, I think they're deeply concerned about it. How it will affect the policy really is the big question, because the last thing I think the president wants to be seen as doing is giving in to political pressures and making policy decisions for those reasons. I think that would even tend to undercut his support among Republican backers. So I think really all the administration can do now is keep its fingers crossed, try to stay on the course it is on now, which involves rapidly training more Iraqi policemen and army personnel to take over some of these security duties on their own, and hope that by a year from now they're able to bring home more U.S. troops and at least be able to say we're on a downward slope there.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent John Bisnes. 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955.
And that's today's Battle Watch.
We got more on the way. Stay there. We'll be back.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Ahead, we'll take a look at TV tonight. Also coming up, we got a grave watch and a penis watch on the way. Also, today's top five. Top five songs with the word bad in the title. We also got the new single from Kid Rock. If you're going to be up tonight watching Jimmy Kimmel, first of all, Andy Dick is the co-host, and you can't beat Andy Dick. Andy Dick is great because at any given moment, you just expect him to drop dead of a heart attack, you know what I mean? Kind of like Chris Farley, because Andy Dick is so obviously just strung out of his mind all the time. So Jamie Kennedy is going to be on there, but try to overlook that fact, because 2003 World Series of Poker champion Chris Moneymaker. And what kind of a great name is that, huh? Chris Moneymaker.
He was born to be a poker champion.
Seriously, did you watch that?
Oh, yeah.
It was on, all 7 hours of it. It was on last night, so.
Oh, I didn't watch it all in series.
Yeah, they did all 7 hours in a row. So Chris Moneymaker is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight, and Train, the worst band in the entire world, is going to be on Conan O'Brien. So try to avoid that. But then check this out. So Jay Leno has Dana Carvey, which I suppose is okay, except Dana Carvey's now one of those people that. Dana Carvey's kind of become one of those people that goes on for no readily apparent reason. Like, what could Dana Carvey...
I just saw a new Pringles commercial that he's in.
Oh, God. No. What is he doing? What is he doing in the Pringles? Tell me he's not...
You know he's dressed like a woman.
No, but tell me he's not doing one of his old characters.
No.
Tell me he's not doing one of his old...
Two whole new characters.
Dana Carvey was, at one point, the funniest person on the earth. There was this brief window of time where he was the funniest man in existence. But he's become one of, I can't possibly imagine what he's got to promote. He had that show that got canceled, then he had several abysmal movies. I just don't even know why he would be on there.
Maybe he's just got to pay rent.
He's going to be at the ha-ha hole this weekend.
Maybe he moved to White City.
Yes, maybe. But the funny part is that Jay Leno has Dana Carvey, and then he has Snoop Dogg, Ludacris, and am I saying this right, Chingy?
Chingy.
Chingy. I only know, is Chingy a man or a woman?
Chingy is a man. He's out of St. Louis.
Really? Are you sure about that?
I'm absolutely positive.
I'm sure, too.
He did right there, T-H-U-R-R, which is just the way it's spelled. And then he's got his new one out that's got Ludacris and Snoop Dogg on it called Holiday Inn.
Look, I don't want
to... How does that sell to Mid-America?
I was going to say, first of all, I don't know that Jay Leno's audience is going to be down with Chingy. And... Can I just say this? Look,
you just sounded old.
I don't know from Chingy. The only Chingy I know, the only reason I even recognize the name is because Chingy's on the new DMX. But Chingy, he is apparently a man, is on this track that I swear to God doesn't have another male vocal on it. There's this song called My Life, and but I think it's just DMX and some chick. I hope it's not Chingy's voice, because otherwise that's embarrassing. Anyway, what was the point I was going to make? Ludacris. You know, can I just ask this? At what point did it become a thing in the hip-hop community that you can't spell correctly? You know, I cannot remember the last time I saw a name or, like, a phrase that was actually spelled the way it's supposed to be spelled in hip-hop. It's apparently some part of keeping it real is now apparently looking like you got, like, a first-grade education before you moved on to your music career. You know what I mean?
It's all about spelling, you know, things the way they sound.
Yeah.
What about Korn with a backward K?
What's that?
Korn uses a backward K. Have they been spoken to about that?
They have the backward R. No, that's a fair point.
It's an R.
It's a fair part. And those guys in Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit, I guess they're no better. I'm just saying, you know, what did you say? It's all about what? Spelling things the way it sounds?
Yeah, it's all about just like a phonetic spelling.
Yeah, you know who else does that? Retards. So, I'm I'm not trying to bust in it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, retards can't, you know, rhyme to a good bass. So.
Yeah, that is true. So, if you're interested in seeing Snoop Dogg, Chingy, and what kind of name is Chingy? What the hell kind of name is that?
It's actually for Cha-Ching.
No, come on, seriously.
I'm really
kidding. Cha-Ching?
Cha-Ching, you know, like money, Cha-Ching.
Yeah, just officially run out of names for things. Okay, whatever. Just don't watch that. Whatever, just avoid
Holiday
it.
Inn, you would actually like
it.
Oh,
I know that song.
Yeah.
I know that song.
It's
Holiday
a good
Inn.
Song. That's, yeah. that's a Chingy song. That's,
yeah.
That's Snoop and Ludacris on it.
My peeps on M2 were playing that this weekend. Here's why you should watch anything. But, well, I mean, here's what your choices are. You've got Jay Leno with Chingy. You've got Conan O'Brien with, I mean, it's like Conan O'Brien is in that place where what's his name? Wayne Brady was. He's got Sylvester Stallone and Train. I mean, what kind of a bottom feeder are you there when Sylvester Stallone and Train are who you've got on there? Anyway, we spent too much time on this.
That's spelled T-R-A-N-E?
It should be. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Well, probably nobody watched this last night, but it was CBS's 75th anniversary party, and Dan Rather was asked on the way out if he thinks the network will last another 20 years.
I do. I think the Evening News is a very good business. I prefer to think of it as a public service, and first and foremost with us, it is a public service, but it can't remain a public service unless it's a good business. And I do think that 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, somebody will be making an evening newscast, both a public service and a good business. And I hope that CBS News will be one of those doing it, and I think we will. I think we're the best positioned to do that.
And it'll go Spanish.
And Dan Rather continues to age with the CBS audience, by the way. CBS makes these continual efforts to try to... It's like no matter how hard they try to get young people to listen, and it's just they just end up putting on more Diagnosis Murder reruns. I mean, it just continues. CBS is, always has been, and always shall be forevermore the network that your parents watch. Your parents watch CBS. Your grandparents probably watch CBS. Apart from, what isn't Survivor on CBS? I think that's it, man. I think that's like the one show they've got that's watched by anybody under the age of 55. So anytime Dan Rather is the guy, I mean, no disrespect to Dan Rather, but I mean, that's the guy you're rolling out there as your public face. It indicates that you've got a little bit of a demographic problem with your network.
Well, Don Wells reminds us that it was Gilligan's Island that made CBS great.
I think it's a simple escape. I think it was something to laugh about. Everybody's fantasy was to be marooned, obviously, or the Survivor stuff wouldn't be on the air. It was everybody's fantasy, and the cast was great. We had a wonderful variety of comedians, I think. It worked.
Do they have anybody? Do they have anybody that CBS? It's not from like the Great Society. Do they have anybody like from the Reconstruction?
We can move up a little bit. Let's not forget about the Mary Tyler Moore Show battles. Gavin McLeod.
Yeah.
Incredible leader. Mary Tyler Moore was
sensational.
She was always there early. You know, she was always on top of everything, and she cared. I think if you have a less conscientious leader, it could rub off. But that was one of the reasons her magic really prevailed.
Jesus.
God. Now what about I Mary Joan? No, just kidding.
We're out there trolling Hoovervilles, trying to find people to. Gavin McLeod. The only good thing, Gavin McLeod, by the way, Gavin McLeod. I was talking to Mike Chase from KWJJ about this. We were talking about about people that are funny, that you can always name-check for humor. Long time, you'd have been saying Tony Danza's a guy you say that's funny. It used to be Christopher Walken. But Gavin McLeod is a guy. It's like whenever, you know, you're doing comedy and you want to finish with somebody who's a funny name, you can say Gavin McLeod, because Gavin McLeod is a guaranteed laugh to anybody in my generation. Also, in a pinch, Conrad Bain. All right, coming up later on, we got a Grave Watch, Penis Watch, top five songs with the word bad in the title. And we got the new single from Kid Rock. It's coming up. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk, 1080 KTK. Here's Sir Mix-a-Lot.
We've been ever since with our brass belt buckle. Born in the ghetto, hard like metal. Got an 87 Benz with a fat gas pedal. Live a hard life, shave with a knife. Love to get freaky on the gloomy. It's nice. I got childhood song and the truth of my life. Girls laugh now that they can do me. The new breed is here, vigilantes of rap. Got eyes like fire with my boys in my back. Now I'm back for revenge and the rumors must end. Freaky breathing is out, cool music is in. A lot of dummies getting money just for slapping their hands. Not the style or desire of a true Iron Man.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.